Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by CatholicSingles.com is ringing in the new year with savings for singles. You can save 20% by using the promo code BREADBOX when you register for a new account. Come meet other faithful Catholics and make 2020 a year to remember.
Aloha and good morning. Wish you could see how beautiful the colors are out there. There you go. It helps a little bit. We're Cocoa Beach, Florida again today. We don't go home to Hawaii for another 5 or 6 weeks. Our stay here got a little bit extended. I hope you guys had a great weekend. So we're in the Catholic Catechism. This is our fourth year of going through the Catechism, and that's our second time through. And right now we're on paragraph 101. When you see the description every day, that's telling you what the paragraph number is. I'm sorry, it's actually number 110. It tells you what paragraph we're in and what we're discussing. And today we're discussing that we need to discover the sacred author's intentions when reading scripture. In order to discover the sacred author's intention, the reader must take into account the conditions of their time and culture, the literary genre in use at that time, and the modes of feeling, speaking, and narrating that were then current. For the fact is that the truth is differently presented and expressed in various types of historical writing, in prophetical and poetical texts, and in other forms of literary expression. So some of the texts are poetic, which means they may be more allegorical. Some of them, like Daniel and Revelations, are more, and Ezekiel, are more apocalyptic. And so the symbolism there is very specific, and we need to understand what the author was, how the author was presenting what he wanted to say. Some of it's historical. But since sacred scripture is inspired, in other words, God breathed, there is another and no less important principle of correct interpretation, without which scripture would remain a dead letter. Sacred scripture must be read and interpreted in the light of the same Spirit by whom it was written. That's the Spirit with a capital S, the Holy Spirit. Good morning, Tony. Good morning, Pat. The Second Vatican Council indicates three criteria for interpreting Scripture in accordance with the Holy Spirit who inspired it. Have a little bit of cup of coffee here. Hey, Ted, good morning. Is Theo on his way to school yet? Or does he have another day or two off? And by the way, anyone who is going to become a Patreon donor, for those who are $20 Patreon donors, we're about to release episode 17. But if you're a Patreon donor at the $20 level, you get early access to our episodes, which means you're listed in the credits. But for those of you who are thinking about becoming Founders Circles members, then you have a listing as one of the co-producers of the show too. So I know some of you are thinking about doing that. If you need my help, message me and I'll help you get set up to do that. But today is the day we're doing the credits, is what I'm saying. So this is kind of the moment for you to take action if you want to get early release of the of episode 17, and also want to be listed as one of the sponsors of the show in the show credits. Or if you want to give at the $100 level, the combined $100 level, then you will be listed as a producer, co-producer of the show. So anything that you can do like that helps us, of course, too. But today's the day because we're doing credits today. Okay, back to this. But since sacred scripture is inspired, there's another no less important principle of correct interpretation. Sacred scripture must be read and interpreted in the light of the same Holy Spirit by whom it was written. The Second Vatican Council indicates three criteria for interpreting scripture in accordance with the Holy Spirit who inspired it. Be especially attentive to the content and unity of the whole scripture. I find so often when I'm in dialogue with certain Protestants, they'll pull a scripture out and we call it proof texting. And so the scripture says this, but your teaching is contrary to this scripture. But if you took that scripture within the context of the whole Bible, then it makes sense. Hey, Martha, good to see you. I texted Paul last night inviting him to have coffee with me again, or maybe call, give me a phone call. We need to schedule a time, though. I'm curious how his career search is going. But it's so easy to have someone pull a scripture out of context and then prove their point or their doctrine with just that scripture. But we need to take it within the context of all of scripture. It's very important that we don't pull something right out, rip something right out of context, and then try to build a whole doctrine, a whole church on it. Different as the books which comprise it may be, scripture is a unity by reason of the unity of God's plan, of which Christ Jesus is the center and the heart, open since his Passover. So this is St. Thomas Aquinas. The phrase, the heart of Christ, can refer to sacred scripture, which makes known his heart. So in that sense, the Bible is a love letter. Let you know Christ's heart. Closed before the Passion, as the scripture was obscure. But the scripture has been opened since the Passion, since those who from then on have understood it, consider and discern in what way the prophecies must be interpreted. So scripture was open to us in a much greater way at the Passion, and I would say more specifically when Jesus died. It says that the temple curtain was ripped from the top down. There was the great earthquake. And the temple curtain, several layers thick, it's probably 7 inches thick. And that curtain was torn not from the bottom up by man, but by the top down by God, as Jesus entered into the Holy of Holies. And he invites us to go there with him. It used to be just the high priest would go in there, but since we are a priestly people, we're one with Christ, he's inviting us to go right in the very heart of the temple. Not the outer court, not the holy place, but the Holy of Holies. And that's, we find the very heart of Christ is revealed since his Passion. Like he opens up his heart to us. We see more clearly what his intentions are. I remember once being in a prayer situation. This was many, many years ago. And the Lord spoke, it was like a prophetic word, you know, a charismatic word, show us your love. And when that happened, I had such a joy hit me that I started laughing so hard that back in those days I wore contact lenses before my LASIK surgery and they popped out. And I was so embarrassed, but I look around, everyone in the room was just filled with laughter. It was like totally spontaneous, nothing emotional or contrived about it. We just said, Lord, show us your love. And then after 2 or 3 minutes of that, it was just so joyful and unexpected. Then the word came, Lord, show us your heart. And the grief and the sorrow that hit me was overwhelming. I'm not an emotional person, but I wept. And the scriptures will show us that. The scriptures will show us the love of God, the joy of God. The scriptures will show us the heart of God. On the cross, Jesus, full of joy, Jesus, full of sorrow, Jesus, full of victory, Jesus dying on the cross. At the cross, you see blood and water flow. At the cross, you see truth and love. At the cross, you see joy and suffering. They go hand in hand. Nothing is more joyful, in a sense, than suffering for someone that you dearly love, taking their suffering on you and trying to take it from them. When a little child is hurt, you pick them up and hold them, and you sorrow for them, but you love them even more. So the phrase, the heart of Christ, this is Thomas Aquinas, can refer to sacred scripture, which makes known his heart, closed before the Passion, as the scripture was obscure. But the scripture has been opened since the Passion, just like the rock was rolled away from the tomb. Since those who from then on have understood it, consider and discern what way the prophecies must be interpreted. Read the scriptures within the living tradition, with a capital T, of the whole church. Thank God for the teaching authority of the church. It's been handed down through us for generations. You know, I came back to the church because I discovered the early church fathers. And when I read their writings, I see that the primitive church was indeed the Catholic Church. They practiced like the Catholic Church does. I just read a beautiful book from the early church fathers in regards to the development of their understanding of who Mary is. Very beautiful. The living tradition of the whole church, according to the sayings of the fathers, the early church fathers. Sacred scripture is written principally in the church's heart rather than in documents and records. For the church carries in her tradition the living memorial of God's word. Now remember, we're all caught up in written words, you know? But remember the scriptures in the first 20 years, there were no scriptures after Jesus died. Maybe some had written it down. Jesus never wrote anything, you know? It wasn't like a Plato or an Aristotle who wrote things down. But it was so key in those days. Oral tradition, oral memorization was so profound because there wasn't a lot of writing. There weren't a lot of scrolls. And so when people would repeat the stories of Jesus, they'd say, well, Jesus said this on the parable on the Mount. And if you got it wrong, someone would say, you know what, that's not quite right. Remember, it was like, this is what he said. And people would kind of, what do they call that now, truth check or something? Or spell check? People would spell check each other in the passing on of the oral traditions. And so the oral life of the early church, that's still alive today. And we can't say, well, we only believe what's in the Bible. All that the Bible says is inspired by God, but it's illuminated by the living oral tradition of the church. Jesus didn't write a book. Christianity is not a religion of the book like Islam is. It's Christianity is a religion of the church, the living body of Christ. The church is alive. The Word of God is alive. And it is the Holy Spirit who gives her the spiritual interpretation of the Scripture according to the spiritual meaning which the Spirit grants to the church. That's Origen writing that. Remember, one of the early church fathers. So be attentive to the analogy of faith. This is in Romans 12:6. By analogy of faith, we mean the coherence of the truths of faith among themselves and within the whole plan of revelation. It's so beautiful when you get to really know scripture, it becomes part of you. A Protestant friend said to my son, Kyle, doesn't know scripture. I disagree. Kyle is a lector. He is active at Life Teen. Hey, Martha, let's see. Can't quite read the rest of what you're saying. Actually, Catholics know more scripture than any Protestant probably ever will, because I've been to Protestant churches. I left the church for a while seeking to go deeper with God. There's more scripture on every single Sunday than any Protestant service I've ever been to. And over a three-year period, if you're going to Mass every day, you go through the entire Bible. So there's so many kind of unusual areas of scripture that are read at Mass that most Protestant sermons would never be based on. I remember I was asked to do a special Advent reflection for one of the newspapers, and they gave me that day's scripture, happened to be, I think on the 17th, a genealogy. But the Lord gave me a beautiful thing to share about the genealogy of Christ. But you would never probably study genealogy never come up normally in a regular Bible believing sort of evangelical type church. So, yeah, we cover more scripture now. Remember, the tradition of the church has been that until recent time there were very few books. We would have maybe one book. Not even one Bible for every church. And if there was a Bible, there was chained to the altar so that no one would steal it. And so it was read aloud because most people weren't even literate even today, many people around the world are not literate. So their Bible is what they hear from the pulpit, and their Bible is the beautiful iconography and the beautiful stained glass windows. This is that tell the story of the gospel, tell the story of the Lord. So yeah, we need to stand our ground, let people know. We know Scripture. It's just that Catholics aren't used to having a Bible in their hand that has all of that. They don't necessarily pick up the library of the book of the Bible books that way, but we should. We definitely should. Let it be a challenge to you, and you can grow from it. Hey, Raymond Stowe, aloha. Marty, good to see you. Good morning from Torrance, California. You're up early. Good to have you with us. Let you guys enjoy the sunrise for a bit. Beautiful morning. Hey Dan, good to see you. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow morning. Again, time to make our New Year's resolutions. The men of the man cave, I wished you would post it to the man cave. I got to be on the morning show again with Matt Swaim, and we talked about something that one of my friends shared with me, Mark Cobb. And he said he was reading from Luke when the angel spoke to Elizabeth. To Zechariah, I should say, and Zechariah doubted him, and Gabriel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand before God, and I have been sent with a message for you." In this New Year's, let's think about who we are, where we stand, and what our message is. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Haole makahiki ho. Happy New Year. That's
right. Hey, man, I don't want you to miss out on your free stuff at deepadventure.com. Go there and subscribe to our weekly email newsletter. You get free video content, including the Bear Wozniak radio show, video version on YouTube before it even airs on EWTN. And you can follow us on all of our social media. Go to deepadventure.com and subscribe. Get your free stuff. And if you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to press the subscribe button and ring that little bell. Don't miss out.